All right, episode 61. We're back, Rob.
We're back.
Yeah.
We are back.
Back in Black. Fantastic album, right?
It was a good album. That was
maybe fantastic is too.
At the time it was fantastic. I mean, yeah. I remember that was the jam for when I was in, I think I was in middle school, and it was like the middle school soccer team. And when we would go to like away games, you'd be on the bus to go.
And they
to
would
the
blast
game.
Back in Black.
Oh, we would. That was our jam.
Wow.
Back in Black.
That's pretty cool.
That was our hype music.
What was the color of your uniforms, though?
Green.
Oh, see, it makes perfect sense, right?
Yep. Green.
Yeah. And the bus you traveled on was probably yellow. I am assuming it wasn't black.
It was yellow.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's right.
All right, episode 61. What are we going to talk about today, Rob?
We are going to talk about...
Drum roll, please.
We're going to talk about naming.
Naming.
The task of naming a company service... Whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, naming projects and how we attack them with ferocity.
Yeah. Like a badger, like a cornered badger.
Like a...
I don't even know why that popped in my head. So yeah, naming, it's a tough thing. Like, where do the names come from? I mean, obviously you have names of people, right? I mean, a lot of companies, Ford, it's the name of a person, you know, that 100 years later has grown into, you know, obviously synonymous with automobiles and things. But... names, you know, they come from all sorts of different places and thoughts and consideration sets, or, you know, there's descriptive names, you know, there's just made up words. We're all over the place. I mean, think about all of the prescription drugs you know, see during a sporting event, you know, Xarelto and Keytruda.
Wegovy.
Yeah.
Ozempic.
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts. There's a scientific way of naming those things, right?
I don't know how scientific that is.
And or is there, right?
Well, no, well, a lot of the reason that they do, that they create those names are because they're made up words. And when they're made up words, you don't have to worry about the trademarking and all of that.
There's
all
no
of those
competitive
legal hoops
set
that you may have to go through. So that's...
Absolutely. Delta Airlines versus Delta Faucet. That type of thing, right?
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, naming... kind of the way that we come at it, it sort of depends on what we're doing, right? So first, I guess if we talk about the process, first is to understand what are we naming, right? So is it, oh, I created a widget and we're naming this widget.
Yes.
We have a new business service. We have a new service line. We need to name that. Yeah. We have a new division. We need to name that. So we kind of start with, okay, well, what are we naming? And then we start to think about, okay, what... are there other names that are under a company umbrella?
Yeah.
How do we fall in line with that? Is there a system that we need to become a part of?
Yeah.
Or are we completely independent? And this is a new product and it can be anything, anything that it wants to be. So we sort of start there. And then because it is so wide open, for me, I usually like to start with, okay, guidance from the client on, you know, hey, we need to stay in this lane or we're open to whatever or... sort of follow that, and then generally speaking, because it is such a wide range of possibilities, we start with buckets, strategic buckets.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, your brain is just, it doesn't know where to start.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean,
well, that blinking cursor in the white Word doc is a hard place to.
Yeah.
You know, where do you
letters,
go?
But infinite possibilities.
Yeah, but it's because there's infinite possibilities. There could be a little paralysis by analysis.
Absolutely.
Like I don't know where to begin this process.
Yeah.
So I like your concept there, your direction of like-minded buckets.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's
categories.
Pick a strategic path, and then go down that path and spend some time playing in that sandbox.
Totally.
I don't ever edit anything when I'm naming. I just go. Just start going.
I love that.
And then take that bucket and then maybe narrow it down and then move on to another bucket so that you ultimately come out with this landscape of, okay, here are 6 or 7 paths, different strategic paths that we can go down.
Yeah.
And that, generally speaking, as a first round presentation for a client, helps them start to think about where they want to be and what might make sense for the particular project.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But what's also interesting about naming you know, we're working on a project right now and we're naming a piece of software.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, okay, well, in naming that piece of software, you start to think about, okay, well, what does it need to be, a descriptive name?
Yeah.
Can it be a whimsical name? Because potentially the software could be intimidating. Do you want to make it approachable? Do you want to, you know, you think about...
That's a good point.
And I used this example earlier today, but in talking about like, I've got an email platform, right? I send out e-blasts.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, are you a constant contact?
Yeah.
Which is the IBM of the email world.
Yeah.
Or are you a MailChimp?
Exactly.
Which is super whimsical. I'm more of an Apple. I'm more of a whimsical, easy to use, approachable sort of platform.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great example too. I mean, constant, I would say that's literal, right? That's literally
very literal.
Describing what we're doing.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. So then, I mean, from there, it's really, and again, part of it is, you know, just like other areas of business that we're in and other types of projects, part of it comes down to your gut.
Yeah, there is a subjectivity. I was wondering if we were going to talk about this.
Absolutely a subjectivity to it.
I like this. I don't like that. Or I like the way this sounds. You know, there's something to, and we haven't talked about it yet, but the alliteration of when we're going through client presentations, it's always interesting to have you sort of go through not only what the word means, but also how it sounds, the vowels, you know what I mean? Just, you know, sometimes depending on the thing, you want a nice hard consonant in there. If you've got an aggressive, we're doing tools or whatever the case may be. Do you want, you know, that versus, oh, we want something that promotes harmony and it's very soft and uplifting. I mean, it's more than just the 26 letters. I mean, I know you joke about that, but there is, a science and a strategy behind the feeling of the name as well.
And you have to stop and think about, you know, oftentimes like, okay, it's when you see it on the written, when it's in your head and you think of the name, okay, great. It's a wonderful name. Then when you write it out, are there going to be any enunciation issues? Mm-hmm. Is it crystal clear exactly how to pronounce that word when you say it? Cause sometimes you overlook those things.
Yeah.
And that can be a bad thing.
Well, we, quick side note along those thoughts though. And we've had our friend Peyton from Vivex on the podcast before, right?
Right.
So we can name drop this one, Vivex, V-I-V-E-X, right?
Yeah.
I have heard it pronounced Vivex.
Vivex, right.
Yeah, and I've never even thought about it. Now, we've been working on them, I mean, for over 10 years,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
It's always been Vivex. They've got a derivative of Via, right, is one of their product lines. But I've also heard that referred to by vendors as Via, right? And it was like, oh, man, I never even thought about it that way, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is an interesting point to, you know, you got to make sure not only, I think actually on the presentation today, you mentioned, hey, write it down on a post-it note and show it to somebody and have them read it. You know?
Well, and it's an idea that the client really liked, I think, sort of gravitated towards right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And it was, hey, it's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
However,
fact check
there's there is a potential for, exactly. Write it on a post-it note and go pass it around and say, hey, what does this say?
Yeah. Pronunciation matters. You know, I always joke about what's the state above California. Right. When I ask people, you know, depending on where we grew up in the United States, you know, there's Oregon versus Oregon, you know, that type of, you know, just pronunciation. Right. So when you're naming things, you got to consider all these things. Not, you know, I also obviously come at it from what does the word look like? Is it a good looking word?
Absolutely.
You know, does it look strange? You know, the combination of letter forms, you know, or when we have to design marks for brand new things, which we'll be doing for this project, you know.
Right.
Are there any cool letters in there? Is there a Q?
Right.
You know what I mean? Or do you have all these letters that don't really fit together
They don't play well together.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got Vs or Ws that have very extended wide letter forms with a lot of negative space in there, you know, next to an I.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, how do we group and nest these things together? But that is less important, I do think, than what the name is.
Yeah.
And depending on the strategy of the naming, uniqueness, you know, adoption, ease of use, you know, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah.
That design kind of comes to the end, I think.
And then it's also too, the name is the name, which is tremendously important, of course, but then it's what do you do with that name?
Oh, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
You know, it's, how do you articulate the brand around that name and what is the tone of voice and
Absolutely.
What is the look and the feel? How does it all sort of come together once the name is in place.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned Ford earlier, joking about Henry Ford's name, right? But, and you've heard me say this for 10 years, you know, if you were starting a company now, I wouldn't name a car company Ford. That's a horrible name for a brand new startup, right? With a crazy looking F that nobody writes in cursive anymore, things like that. But it's seared in our minds, built Ford tough. You know, that visual of the concrete breaking and the thing, you know, that's what makes it feel like it's a tough, rough and tumble, you know. So it is what you do with it, to your point.
Yeah.
Not only the name or the logo itself, it's how it's positioned out in the world and treated. So.
Yeah. And then there's some like, you know, a name like BMW.
Yeah.
It's just an acronym, right? Bavarian Motor Works.
Bavarian Motor Works, yeah.
And it's you don't say it. You say the letter.
No.
you just read the letters, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it can go a ton of different ways, really.
But that's BMW aren't three letters that go together. I've always been interested in SAP, you know, the big software company.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it's SAP, but SAP actually is a word SAP.
Sure.
Which I always thought was kind of random and interesting too.
BMW is, we're missing a vowel. We need to buy a vowel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So.
But it can go, it's fun to do. It can be daunting because I think a lot of clients don't really know what they want it to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes more often than other types of projects.
I would say of all of the projects we do.
Yeah.
We probably get, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like we probably get the least direction up front.
Yeah.
In terms of where to go, right? Because they really don't know. And it's probably the most, it's the job that has the most, I don't know what it is, but I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah.
Right? Which is definitely it's a murky waters to be in.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, there is no more blank slate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It doesn't
exactly.
even have a name.
But I think that's what ties into the strategic approach that you take for naming, right? In regards to, different strategic directions or buckets. We always call them buckets, but, you know, and then right to that, you know, hey, this is the direction that is ease of use. This is the direction that is category specific. This is the direct, you know what I mean? All the different type of approaches, I think. I think that helps organize the thoughts potentially for clients, you know?
Yeah. And then I think out of that, so you do a round one where you've got these six or seven sort of buckets. And then generally speaking, clients will come back and say, oh, okay, I'm so glad you thought about this. I feel like I know now that we don't want to be in that direction or we do want to be in that direction or whatever it is. Come back with a couple of different sandboxes to play in and then we can kind of refine from there.
Yeah. This is not dissimilar to first round logo sometimes where it's not easy to pick the ones you love, but easier to eliminate the ones that you know are not appropriate, right?
Right.
So it's kind of the thinning of the herd or the culling of the herd, right? Yep. To sort of see what's left and then sort of go from there. So
yeah, and we do that with all types of projects. We've mentioned it before, but it's worth mentioning again. A lot of times that is the path to finding what you like.
Yeah.
Is finding what you don't like.
Yeah, for a variety of reasons.
It's a process of elimination for a little bit. And with names, too, we were saying this morning on a presentation. It's, okay, so we've got the first round in, and you've got, 15 names on a page. Take the ones that you know you don't like off the table.
Yeah.
And the ones that are left, let's say there's four of them, write each of them on an individual piece of paper so that you can see them independent of the other words on the page. And then,
Great point. Then
like everything else, live with it for a little bit.
Yeah. I think I said, it's great to hear the immediate snap feedback on the round one first call, but then it's hey, get away from it for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then come back to it and see if you still have that spark or that excitement around the names that you did love. You know, if it's 3 days later and you don't love it as much, then that tells you something.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
It's an interesting, naming is an interesting thing. I think the hardest one, I remember 1 year ago, was just, I want a made up word. You know, I want something that, and it's like, oh my Lord,
Googly, googly moogly.
Those are, I think, some of the hardest ones where there's no direction, but I know I want something, because even the, Google is now a thing, obviously, right? But like Yahoo, and that actually is a word,
right.
So like some of the sort of made up things, independent of all the prescription drugs and things like that, right?
Right.
Kind of creating a funky sounding word can definitely be challenging for sure. So.
Well, thank goodness we have ChatGPT.
Oh God. Well, every podcast seems to be coming back to AI these days.
I know, right? So.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, hey man, it's all the rage, So it doesn't seem like it's going away. And it seems like it's constantly in the news of the people that created AI are saying this is a horrible idea.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, I think creative vision I think potentially a short term, before we get Judgment Day and the robots totally take over, I think you'll still need someone to direct, right? So I think the creativity will still be at play and the vision will still be needed, right? Potentially less of the technical skills will be required, right?
Yeah.
And again, I'm just thinking out loud. This is not strategic, but like I won't necessarily need to know how to program the binary code to do X, Y, Z, da, 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 da. But you still have to direct the technology in an artistic expression in a way, you know? So,
well, and I like to believe that from a writing standpoint, the robot hasn't experienced and hasn't felt the emotion in order to articulate.
For sure.
Can it write a poem about Frank going to the candy store?
Of course absolutely. It can. Of course it can.
But it doesn't have the capacity for emotion. Not yet.
I wonder how it relate. I mean, AI and or artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, like for and naming. You know, I mean, if you just said make up words, you know, God knows what that would. I mean, it would be.
I'm sure it would spit out a
All sorts of crazy
all
stuff.
All sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, something to think about. So
crazy.
All right. Well, that's I think that's a good little synopsis on our approach of naming. It's always fun process. Challenging, definitely a challenging one, but a fun process. You know? And we haven't even talked about, hey, don't fall in love with this one name yet. We always recommend don't fall in love with one because as soon as you hand it to the lawyers, I feel like their job is to do everything they possibly can to squelch your selection.
I mean, generally speaking, and I'm sure different agencies do have a different sort of process, but for us, we generally don't go through like U.S. patent trademark stuff in a round one.
Yeah, it's reach out to. I mean, we have affiliations with, trademark attorneys and things like that, right? And we can do the cursory search and things like that, right? But it's really, hey, you need at least three or four of these things to go hand to counsel,
right?
To go find out if there's anything out there that would eliminate it, that type of thing.
That's a round two thing. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. We're still in the fun. We're still in the high of round one.
We're still in the fun part.
Yeah, the lawyers haven't crushed the dreams yet. So, but. All right. Yeah. I think it's a fun little overview of naming and our approach to naming.
All right. Very good. Well, everybody can check us out online, of course, at mocktheagency.com or visit us on the socials at mocktheagency. And we hope to hear from you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Talk to you next time.